praise and glory in this house, house of scripture, Father, and the house of the hall at Canton Assembly. Father, we come to celebrate your Shabbat today, to be with like-minded people. Father, we love you. We look forward to this day. I just pray a blessing, Father, over those that are here today, Father, that we have ears to hear what your Ruach has to say. And it's going to be kind of interesting that some of the same things that Mark said are things that I have noted in my message today, which tells me it's something you wanted us to hear. So we give you praise and glory. And everyone said, Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom, amen. All right. I get this little dry cough all of a sudden that came up the other day. So I'd like to get started today, this afternoon, by reading Isaiah 58, 13, and 14. We were talking about this last night with some friends. If you turn back your foot from the Shabbat, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Shabbat a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, 58, 13, 14, Isaiah. If you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I think we can stop there and go home. What else? I mean, if I go any further, I'm going to mess it up. It was great. So let's go to Onay. If you honor it, you're not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure. And that's the thing. That's the thing sometimes people don't realize. We're not to seek our own pleasure on Shabbat. Our delight should be here. Not doing what we want to do. Or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready and preparing it. This message is clear as a bell. I mean, you almost have to intentionally not want to receive this, not to receive it. It's almost intentional. And I was thinking, I don't really care, I guess is a strong word, how many letters you have after your name, or what seminary you graduated from, or what size of your congregation. This is clear as a bell. There should be no misunderstanding. The Lord has spoken it. He doesn't have to go back and revisit what he has spoken. There was nothing wrong with it the first time. He didn't make an accident. He didn't have an accident. He didn't misspeak. It says, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. So, I'm just going to put a challenge. I don't know who watches this out at Rumble or anything like that, but if you're a pastor, you have to intentionally not want to obey this word, not to obey it. I mean, it's clear. So I'll admit, I'd like to take Adonai up on his offer to ride on the heights of the earth. That's what I thought I would like to do. I'd like to take him up on his offer. He's making an offer here to us. He's giving us instruction. He's giving us something that we can count on. He has spoken. His word is true. He doesn't go back on it. So he says, if I would just make the Shabbat a delight, and I would be careful what I speak. I'm working on it. Strong going. That he would have us riding on the heights of the earth. What's the alternative? I don't want the alternative. I want to ride high. I want his blessings. I want his Ruach to lead and guide us, all of us. So entering into his holy day, turning away from my own fleshly soulish desires. That's what I need to learn to do. I need to turn away from my own fleshly soulish desires, because there are many. There are many. Not having to have everything my own way all the time. and not dragging my suitcase of worldly cares into the place that is outside of time. When we enter Shabbat, we're entering a place that's outside of time. This is stepping into His realm on Shabbat. We come out of the worldly realm, and now we're stepping into His realm, and it's outside of time. It always will be. And we'll see that one day. But I don't need to drag my suitcase of worldly cares in here. Not on Shabbat. We're stepping into the eternal and leaving the temporal behind. Even if it's for a moment, even if it's for a moment, even if it's for a season, we're going to step out of the temporal and we're going to step into the eternal and we're going to celebrate a moment with our Father. But don't be concerned. We can always pick our concerns and our worldly cares back up as soon as the sun goes down. So for those of you that need to do that, they'll be there for you. They'll be there at sundown. And you can pick them right back up. And you can put them right back up on your back and your shoulder. And you can carry on. Well, the interesting thing, I think that I've talked to Tom about this before, and he agrees. Oh, Tom and the chief, and the pillar. The chief and the pillar are down in Florida, and I think they're coming back tomorrow, right? Because they got done kind of late yesterday at the trade show, and you know Tom doesn't want to drive on Shabbat. We honor that, and so they're down in Florida. So, guys, I know you guys are watching on Rumble, so we miss you, and we're looking forward to you guys getting back. But Tom is the chief, and Nathan is the pillar. Okay, that's new. That's a new. Just came up with that, and I think Nathan likes it. Tom definitely likes the chief, so. But the interesting thing, and I did talk to Tom about this before, is when you put the message together or something you're going to teach upon, you get tested on it right away. I mean, you don't even get it typed out on the paper and you're already messed up. And you think, I'm going to share this with them? I need it. Testing, testing. Of course, we know that the children of Israel were led away from their comforts into the wilderness in part to be tested. Testing is to reveal what is living within our hearts or our thoughts. That's what testing's for. But it's not for God's benefit. It's not for His benefit because He already knows what's in our heart. So the testing isn't for Him. The testing is for us, so that we know what's in our own hearts when it gets revealed. He already knows what's there, so He puts us in these positions where we're tested, and what's inside is going to come to the top. It's a squeezing at times. It's pressure at times to bring to surface areas still requiring sanctification. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because we're supposed to be gone from glory to glory to glory. So we have to have these things come up so they're revealed to us, so that we know that we need to work on them, so that we can come before the throne room of God and we can have a discussion with Him and we can confess those things to Him. And that's part of the sanctification. So He can say, yes, now you've got that completed. Let's move on to something else, because we're always supposed to get... more mature in our journey as we walk this thing out. Isaiah 58:13 says we're not to debar. I looked that up this morning. I'm like, what does idle talking mean? If you look it up, there's two words right together, debar. One is, I think, a noun, which is the actual words, and the other one is the verb speaking. So one is the words, and the other thing is speaking. And we're not to speak idle, meaningless words. Idle, meaningless words. And immediately, the test begins. And immediately, the test begins. In a book that I've been reading this week, it's actually one that Patty has on the Psalms 31 woman, but it is so extremely good. And since I am the bride of Messiah, and guys, guess what? We can read that psalm too, because it's for the bride of Christ, which who we are. So, I mean, I've been reading this thing, and I've been telling Patty I'm just blown away with it, because every paragraph there's all these great quotes and stuff. But one of the quotes in the book is, our words are to be containers of truth wrapped in love. Our words are to be containers of truth wrapped in love. It's a good quote. It's a good reminder, because there might be times where our words are more fleshly and angry than caring and loving. And to take it a bit further, the author of the book asked the following. When we are speaking, are our words truthful? Are our words truthful? Are they necessary? And are they delivered in kindness? And I thought, what does this person know? Are our words necessary? Do they lift up? Do they encourage? Do they inspire somebody? Do your words inspire somebody? Do they provide correction? And when they do, are they done in love and compassion and not in anger? And as a reminder, it was a few months ago, maybe the last time I had the main message, I don't remember, but we all agreed to go on a fast. If you remember, we all agreed, the whole congregation. We agreed to go on a fast, and that fast was to stop complaining and fault finding. And everyone said that they wanted to do it. Do you guys remember? So we decided to go on a fast of not complaining or fault finding, and it was a fast that was never to end. It's not like food or water, where we eventually have to eat or drink, because or we'll die. But we never have to pick up complaining and fault finding again, do we? We never have to pick that back up and go back to it. And I put, Mark, you're right. Complaining is such a downer for the person to have to listen to it. Ugh. In my job, I got a couple folks that, you know, that's their thing. And I see the phone ring. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm putting a needle in my eye right now. No, thank you. It's such a downer. It's such a downer. Now, sharing a concern, I agree with Mark. And a struggle with someone because you want to receive encouragement or you need some healing, that's different. And you guys know the difference. When you're just coming to someone to share something that you need some help with, that's completely different than complaining. Okay? But this is what we're born to do on His Shabbat, right? We're not to have these idle words when we enter into His realm of glory, or probably any other time. So I wrote a note to myself this week, because I work like in an office job. I sit behind a computer all day. So I wrote a note, and I put, are my words truthful? Are they necessary? Will they add any value to the person that's listening to them? I wrote that out. And are they kind and meek? Are my words kind and meek? And it helped, because there was times during the week where I didn't want to be kind and meek. And I have that right in front of me. And I was just reading. I said, Father, I do want to be different. I do want to walk in sanctification. I do want to grow in this. I do. We should all want that. We're a representation of Him. We're a representation of our Holy Father on earth, just like Yeshua was. But now it's us on earth. We have His Spirit living within us. We represent Him on earth. So we have a responsibility here. Okay? Why? Because we're disciples. That's why we're disciples. We're different. I do think we're different. That's why we only have a few folks here. If we weren't disciples and we just wanted to have a good time, the place would be packed. It was only 12. And look, we have 1, 2, 3. We got more. We are God's representative and his expression on earth. And we are to be distinct from those that are not. So if I'm talking like them and I'm acting like them and my words are not containers of love wrapped up in kindness and meekness, then I'm just like them. And they can't even differentiate between the two. If there's no light, if there's no love, then perhaps my words are nothing more than a loud clanging cymbal. Just a loud clanging cymbal. No one wants to hear that over and over. Now, if you're playing a song and you want to hit that because the song calls for it, but if you're just sitting here banging on the cymbal all day, sooner or later, people are going to be like, please. I mean, we've got this lawn care service that comes out on Shabbat over our neighbor, and as soon as I open the Bible and take a sip of my coffee, it's 8 o'clock Saturday morning. What's wrong with these people? And it gets old. Me and Patty joke, every time we go out on the deck, somebody jumps out of a tree with a weed eater. I've never seen anything like it. You go out, it's nice and quiet, you get a cup of juice, you go out. Sometimes I wonder if my words are just noise, but they don't add any real value. They're noisy and they're loud and they clang, but did they add any real value to the conversation, to the person that's receiving them? So on Shabbat, no debar debar. No debar debar. Because why? Why? Because Shabbat is a moedim. Shabbat is a moedim. It's a sacred gathering. It's a convocation. Okay? And a convocation is a rehearsal. So we're rehearsing now for the time that we're going to be in the millennial reign with him. We're practicing. We're practicing. This is our rehearsal to enter in that realm that in that seventh day, that millennial reign, we're going to be walking in a presence with him. And this is where we practice doing that on Shabbat. A time when we'll be in a glorified state. And I can't wait to see Mark in his glorified state. And I can't wait to see us in our glorified state. And in the presence of the Messiah himself. I just can't imagine. So Shabbat is called to be a delight. And that the word delight is oneg. Okay? And when I looked it up in the little Bible tool I have in this form, it was only used twice. It was in this scripture and one other. But it comes from a root word that's oneg, oneg. And it means to be soft. To be soft, to be delicate. And to have enjoyment. To be soft, to be delicate, to have enjoyment. Maybe we're supposed to tone it down a little on Shabbat. Tone it down a little. To be soft and delicate and sensitive to what's going on around us. And be in. Enjoy it and have a time of refreshing. And I'll venture to say throughout the week, from Shabbat to Shabbat, for any of us, we all have challenges. We all have issues we're faced. We all have stressful moments. We all have difficult people we need to contend with. That's just life. It's the same for all of us. There's no one that's exempt. Now, some of you guys have your radio tuner and volume turned up louder than everyone else, and yours are more stressful and more horrendous than everyone else's week over week. But the same, we probably all have the same similar things that we're dealing with. But as we enter into Shabbat and as we grow and mature, as we learn to be sanctified, we put all that aside for a moment. We put it aside just for a moment. Again, for those that are concerned, they'll be waiting for us on Sunday. And they'll be waiting us for Monday. But today is to be a delight in his presence. Today is to be a delight in his presence. just a moment to allow ourselves and others a reprieve from worldly fleshly cares. So we have a responsibility to allow ourselves a reprieve from worldly cares. And I'd like to challenge each of us. We also have a responsibility of not putting worldly cares on others on this day. They deserve a reprieve. And you know who also deserves a reprieve? Tom and Cornelia on Shabbat. This is not to come in and download and dump on them. They work. This is supposed to be a day of delight for all of us. So we don't need to be bringing our suitcase in and then dumping. Give them a call during the week, but let them have the time in Shabbat. Okay? I talked to Tom about this and encouraged him in that. And I said, Tom, come on. Let's close out these meetings that we're having on Shabbat and all the stuff that's going on. You deserve to have a day of delight. Okay? I don't know if anyone else agrees with me. I was going to say I really don't care, but I do. I do care. I do care. All right? I'd be not telling the truth. I want to be liked. So, I have an idea, and I'm going to talk to him when he gets back. I didn't call him today because I was actually working on this message. I'd like to call the Shabbat a no-download zone. A no-download zone. Okay? So we're not going to complain because we're fasting complaining. And when we come in the Shabbat, we're not going to fault find. Right? Are we in agreement? No, I mean, that's good. I know I ask rhetorical questions so you guys don't know when to answer. I get it. And then we're not going to download. Now, if you have a serious issue, yes. I mean, come in and get some help. But if it's just rambling on about menial things, we're not going to do that. We're going to give somebody, I'm going to give you a reprieve from my cares, Ellen. All right? So when I see you, I just want to be your friend. And you know what else? I was thinking about you this morning. You're going to make your way up to Elijah sooner or later. And then you guys are going to get your garden going sooner or later. And when you do, I want you to take me through your garden. And I want to have a time with you. Because you're a good guy. That's what I was thinking about you today. I want me and you to go through your garden, and I want you to tell me how you prepared for it. And I hope that there will be one. All right. So I promise you this. When we do that, when we download our menial cares, I'm not talking about serious stuff. Come on, let's have some discernment here and hear what I'm saying. Okay? Don't catch me in a hurry. We need to be. If it's serious, let's have a discussion. But downloading our menial cares and arguments that have no real value, you know what that does? It takes the delight meter of that other person down. So now they've been working all week. They've been having a hard week. And then they come here to get refreshed. And if we're not careful, we put our stuff on them. And then their delight meter goes down. I leave here really frustrated some Shabbats. Just from the things I hear sometimes and the expectations. I'm thinking, seriously, it's Shabbat. So Luke 10:38-41. As they went on their way, Yeshua entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed her into the house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and she said, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Will you please tell her to help? And Yeshua said, Martha, you are so anxious and troubled about so many things that are so menial and unimportant. And your sister Mary is sitting at the feet of the Son of God, listening to what he has to say. And what is the Spirit of God saying here? It's more than just ink on a paper. there is a spirit behind this that is speaking to us. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not take away from her. So I just ask, what was important to Yeshua here in this case? I'm not talking about living in squander. I'm talking about a point in time when it's time to sit at the feet and get refreshed and hear what the Father has to say. A measure between the temporal and the eternal. And I repeat myself, on Shabbat, we're entering into the internal. And I guess it's really how we view life. It's the lens that we look through. And I'd suggest that the eternal is much bigger than the temporal. But what truly has our affection and the emotion of our heart? And I heard it recently said that the two largest detriments to living a faithful life are these two things. And this is what from this person I was listening to. And he said, trying to walk this out using logic and reasoning is number one. And then number two is we're addicted to comfort. We're addicted to comfort. I thought, that's interesting. We are all spiritual beings that have a soul, and we dwell within our temporal bodies, right? So this is temporal. But as we all know, there's a huge war taking place within each one of us. And it's fighting to see who's going to win out. There's the fleshly, earthly man, or there's the spiritual man. And it's a huge war that we face each and every day. But Paul says in Romans 8, 5, and 8, for those that are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those living according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. It's eternal versus temporal. What are we thinking about? What are we meditating on? What has our care and our emotions? For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I'll do that. I'll do that, and then I'll do the soaring thing with him. That's better, isn't it? For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to the Torah, God's law, and it can't, because it's trying to do with logic and reasoning. And you can't figure this out. It doesn't make sense up here. It has to make sense in here. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Some of Paul's instructions are very hard to understand, but this is not. This is not one of the things that are hard to understand. Get into Galatians and the circumcision and all that stuff, that can be challenging. But living the life according to the flesh and the Spirit is not hard to figure this out. It's cut and dry. God's words, his ways don't always make sense to the fleshly man. They never will. They never have been. And trying to walk this out using reason and logic will leave us usually extremely frustrated. His ways are not our ways. And in that I said, thank goodness. Because I want his ways to be my ways and his words to be my ways. But the second detriment is our addiction to comfort. It's a strong statement to chew on. It's a strong statement to chew on. Addicted to comfort. That's interesting. But I believe there's truth in it. I believe there's truth in it. Luke 4, 16, 19. And Yeshua came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, I love this, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. The Son of God had no problem keeping his Father's word. He was the word. And he stood up to read, and then the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And he was reading from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To anoint, to smear, to consecrate. He had a purpose in reading this and saying that. But I know I have. many a times read over this, and I think, oh, I'm so thankful that I'm not poor, oppressed, or in jail. And I'm not a captive. I'm not in captivity. We've all read this 100 times, and I'm sure we've hardly even paid attention to it from time to time. I'm not poor. I'm not captive. I'm not blind. I'm not oppressed. But I'll go out on a limb here and suggest that Yeshua was not referencing the temple. He wasn't referencing the physical life. He was referencing the condition of our soul. It wasn't the physical he was referencing here. It was our spiritual and our soulish condition. Many in his body are held captive by an addiction and by some of the friends that we keep. We're held captive by that. Our vision can even be clouded by this because of this comfort in these friends. So let me try this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging a war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Messiah. So, Jim, what does this have to do with being addicted to comfort? The strongholds here are not demons. Because sometimes in the church, in my Pentecostal days, I thought these strongholds were demons and they had to be cast out. But they're not demons. He's talking about our thought life. That's what a stronghold is our thought life. What have we been meditating on? What have we been believing? What have we grown in this thought life year after year after year? And as we do that, and as we meditate on it, we keep going back to it. Because that's where we're comfortable. We're held captive by our thought life. And it's not based, the problem is it's not based on truth. It's not based on truth, on what God's Word says about the situation, or what God's Word says about us. And it's time for us to come out underneath that captivity. That's why Yeshua said he came. And we have an opportunity here to do that. We have an opportunity to come up higher, to lift up, to come up somewhere different now. And it even has become a friend to us. These are the friends that I'm talking about. These are our friends. We go back to them over and over. After all, we've been in a relationship with them for a lifetime, decades. Having a bad day, having a stressful moment, let's go and get comfortable. Let's go back there and dwell there because we're comfortable. Remember when you were 7? Remember Aunt Dorcas said you were not very bright? And you said, you know what? I'm not very bright. Because Aunt Dorcas said that. Well, she was a dork. That's why I said Aunt Dorcas. Okay. I started a business. I've done this. And I worked really, really hard. And it failed. The business failed. So I must not be very capable. I must not be a very capable businessman. It could be 100 other things. Some kid when I was in third grade said I had funny hair, so I must have funny hair. You know what I'm talking about? It could be 100, 1,000 things. The only problem with this is they're lies. They're not true. They're not. We learn from our failures. We learn from them. That's how we learn. That's how we step back up. That's how we get back up. And we say, you know what? Yeah, that didn't work out, but it's going to work out different this time because now I learned what not to do. And Paul encourages and instructs that we take these thoughts and bounce them up against the Word of God. So, okay, Aunt Dorcas said that I wasn't very bright, but the Word of God says that I have the mind of Messiah. So who am I going to believe? Our growth and our maturity walk in this life of faith is dependent on the effort we make to overcome those things. It has to be intentional. We have to start understanding those, and when those thoughts come in and those strongholds try to take over, we say, no. I am capable in the power that He gives me, in the favor that He gives me, in the blessings of my hands when I go to work. I say, Father, thank you for this job today. Bless to anoint me and give me the working of my hands, and my hands will produce what you've ordained me to do today. Every detail of our life is part of the divine curriculum. So some of you guys are teachers. You have a curriculum. Well, this is His. And every detail of our life is that divine curriculum so that we learn from it and we move from it and we learn and we come up from it. What can we learn from this situation? How can I play a resolution to this? How can I get back in the game? You watch a football game. You know, the playoffs are going right now. You know, don't watch a lot, so don't, judge me. But my daughter comes over on Sunday, and she wants to spend time with me and watch the game. I'm going to spend time with my daughter and watch the game. Because I don't see her on Shabbat, because she doesn't do this. But I'll see a receiver go out for a pass, and he's wide open, and he drops it. And the next play, they throw it right back to him. Because I know he can catch it. So can we. We can catch it. Okay, and as we do, as we start applying this, the blinders start coming off and we can see more clearer and our focus becomes more sharp. Okay? Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went and lived in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of some of the promise. For he was looking forward somewhere else. He was looking forward somewhere else to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That's where I want to pay my attention to. I want to look to a city that has foundations where the builder is God Himself. Wisdom said it was with Him in the beginning, building this thing. He saw something. While Abraham had his challenges, like we all do, he was looking this way. He was looking forward. He saw something. He was glancing into the eternal. He was realizing that his current state that he was in was only for a moment. It was a vapor. And so's ours. This state that we're in is done that quick. I mean, I'm going to be 62. What happened? Ellie, help me here. It just went too quick. It's going too quick. I know you young people look up and say, the old goats, but guess what? You'll be up here one day. And you know what I'm finding in the company that I work for? They're starting to hire a lot of old goats. You know why? Because you bring in a lot of experience and knowledge and the things that I'm talking about, and you can put it into practice right away. They're hiring a bunch of old goats. And I like it. I like turning on the video and seeing all that gray. He saw something. He was glancing into the eternal, realizing his current state was only for a moment. But you know, we live in a foreign land. Just like he said he did. This is not our home. This is temporal. It's a vapor. So why does it captivate so much of our emotion and our affection? So let's take a moment, just like Abraham did, and let's peek into the eternal. That's what he was doing. He was glancing at something that wasn't there yet, because the unseen is a whole lot more real and larger than this seen. Okay? So let's take a peek. We can all do this together. Revelation 21, 1 and 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of the Shemayim from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, no crying, no pain, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne, behold, said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And when we receive Messiah, it says that we are new. But maybe we go back to the old and stay there instead of walking the newness out. "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he also said, "Write these words down because they're truth." And the book of Revelation also says that those who study it and read it will receive a blessing. So there's so much more to come. And it's going to be awesome. And those are the things that I want to look forward to. I really don't care all that much what's happening in this place. I know, I mean, this is just me personally. Everyone has to do their own. I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the news. I barely even look at the headlines. I know I should. And then I'm not doing the social media anymore either. I got tired of that. So I just decided, what did you call that today? Doom scrolling. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares? I don't care where you had lunch yesterday. I love you. I don't care if you had a turkey and cheese. So I decided not to do this anymore. And it's nice. It's nice. I like it. I like it. I mean, I miss some of you guys, but I like it. So more from Paul. "So do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, though this temporal thing is wasting away." Mark's tent just got tired. Mark's tent just got tired. That's all. "But the inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." We can't even compare it. You can't even reason it. "As we look not to the things that are seen, to the things here, but to the things that are there and unseen. For the things that are seen are transient." They're temporal. "But the things that are unseen are eternal." I think Paul probably had a good understanding of this. He did go to the third heavens. Whatever that place was, he had an encounter. And he had received the download that he couldn't even share with us. Okay, so we're in preparation mode for the eternal weight of glory that we can't compare yet. So we don't look heavily on the things that we can see or feel or touch or reason or argue. No, because they don't hold much weight. They're temporal. They're not even valuable. And we make them valuable. Romans 8, 17, 18. I'm going to get moving. "And if the children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Messiah, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. For this light affliction that in this country that we have to deal with, some other places might have some more dramatic suffering. But here, our seat warmer doesn't work is not that big of a deal. We all experience pain and disappointment. All of us. It's painful to live this life out. There's disappointments, but that's part of it. That's part of it. And it's preparing us for eternal glory. It's temporal. It's momentary. It's preparatory for the glory to come. And I just put it's time for many of us and his body to step up to a higher plane. To have a much bigger context to life than just our present physical circumstances that we're currently experiencing. These are temporal. It's time to step outside of our comfort zone. And it's time to say goodbye to some friends. It's time to say goodbye to some friends. It's time to say, you know what? Has anyone seen that movie, A Beautiful Mind? With, what's his name, Russell? Was it Russell? And he had schizophrenia. And he imagined this little girl was following him around. And he's having these conversations. And they were having to tell him, you've got to let her go. You've got to let her go. She's not real. And that's what some of us need to do. Some of these things aren't real. They're lies. And we don't need to give them place in our holy temple. This is, don't you know who you are? Don't you know the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know that you're the holy temple of God? What are you allowing in? They certainly wouldn't have made it in to the temple up in Jerusalem and let it defiled. And the enemy was the one doing it. That's who comes in and defiles it. The enemy, the high priest would have never let corruption into the holy place. So it's time for some of us, including myself, to step out of our comfort zone and say goodbye to some friends. There are times when we have to move on from people. We've had to do this in our personal life. I love you, but I got to move past this because you keep dragging me back to, you won't let me go. I'm not that person anymore. I've been walking the sanctification thing out, so I'm not that anymore. I'm over here now. Please don't keep dragging me back here for your comfort. I'm sorry. No. I'm not that person anymore. I've moved on from that. I've said goodbye to you. And we've had to do that with some people in our lives. I love you, but it's just time for us to go, and I wish you well, and I love you, and maybe we'll see each other, but I'm going this way, and you're going that way, and we're just ending up in two different directions. But the same is true when we don't take care of this. If it's not lining up with the truth, with what God's Word says, then we are told, and Paul instructs us, to take that thought captive. Okay, Aunt Dorcas said I wasn't very bright. I am bright. I might not be the brightest, but I'm bright. Well, that wasn't very nice of me. I'm sorry. She's a make-believe person. I didn't have any Aunt Dorcas. Have you ever been teaching? Any of you guys that teach and you look down and you can't find your spot? So sometimes when we're pausing, like, you know, we're tapping things, we're like, where did I leave off? But it should be the other way around. We take our thoughts captive. We don't allow our thoughts to take us captive. And that's what Yeshua came to free us from. That bondage, that prison that we get ourselves in. I mentioned a few weeks ago, let me hurry, when teaching the Torah portion, that Moses' vision was much clearer in focus and eternal based on top of Mount Sinai than it was at the bottom. At the bottom was the golden calf, stiff-necked and faithless people. So I asked, where's your top of the mountain? Where's your top of the mountain? You need to have one. I can't answer the question for you, but we all need to have a top of the mountain. When tested within the wilderness, it was not long before the children cried to return to their comfort zone. Living by faith was too difficult for them. They didn't like it. Living by faith is not comfortable because we can't control everything. Unfortunately, there's some of us that are control freaks. After all, they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from or their water was going to come from. They couldn't control it, so they had an issue with it. And living by faith requires to relinquish control, and some of us have a tough time doing that. And so where was their comfort zone? It was up here in their mind. It was a stronghold because they had lived in an oppressive, abusive state so long. That's all they knew. They wanted to go back to looking for the straw. They wanted to go back looking for the straw and to make bricks because at the end of the day, they got some leeks and some melons. And they didn't have to believe for it. It was just going to be provided for them. So I'll go back to this oppressive, abusive state as long as I get some melons. Because I don't want to have to wait not knowing where I'm going to get a drink of water. But not so for us anymore. We're being called to step up, look forward, and say goodbye to some very old friends. Okay. Philippians 3:10-14. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death. That by means possible I might attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained this is Paul, or I've already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Messiah Yeshua has made me his own. So my life is hidden in him. My life is hidden in him. So that's where I'm going to focus and consider. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own. But one thing I do, I'm going to forget what's behind me, and I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, Messiah Yeshua. That's what I'm going to do, okay? And I'm going to be distinct from the world by our actions. We're all going to do this. We're going to be distinct from the world by how we act and how we react, and by our words and how we respond in times of difficulty. And there's a word here that I just learned this week. It's equanimity. Equanimity. I've never even heard of the word, but it was in that book, and I wrote it down. And it says equanimity, the quality of being calm and even-tempered, especially under turbulent circumstances. It's the quality of being calm and even-tempered, calmness or firmness, especially in turbulent circumstances. I thought, that's good. I wish I could do that. And I'm going to practice it because we're God's children. We are supposed to be distinct from the world. We're supposed to look different from the world. We're supposed to respond different. Our words are supposed to be different. Our words are containers of truth wrapped in love. But when we speak, are they truthful? Are they necessary? Are they shared in kindness? So just a reminder, we're closing. We're on a fast together. We're talking about community. We're going to do this as a community. We're going to fast complaining during Shabbat. What you do at home, you can. That's up to you. But here in Shabbat, we're going to fast complain. Is that okay, Cornelia? And then we're going to fast fault finding. Because there's fault. We're humans. And you're human. So we're going to fast fault finding, and then we're going to do a no download zone. Okay? We're going to do a no download zone. We're not going to download menial, trivial things on each other that really have no return of value. Because we don't want to take somebody's delight meter down. Because, Randy, you need this Shabbat today. You might have had a really rough week. You need to be lifted up. You need to be encouraged. So the Shabbat is to step into the eternal, and it is to be a delight. So we'll close out where we started. If you turn back your foot from the Shabbat, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call it Shabbat a delight. And the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it and not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I don't want to live down at the bottom of the mountain next to the golden calf and stiff neck of disobedient people. I am sorry. If you want to do that, but I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken, and this is true. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving. And Father, we are going to walk away from our comfort zone, Father, and we're going to say goodbye to some very old friends, and it starts today. You came and hung on that cross, Yeshua, to set us free from an oppressive, abusive life, and you came to give life and more abundantly. And Father, regardless of what this government says or what the news channels say, we are going to walk in the freedom that comes from your kingdom and the fact that Messiah is sitting at the right hand of God himself, ruling and reigning his kingdom, and we are going to live a resurrected life. We are going to live a resurrected life, Father. We're going to have a different mindset. We're going to see things differently, Father. We're not going to let this world dictate to us, and we're certainly not going to let another person dictate to us, Father, what our joy is supposed to be. You're our joy. You're our provider. You are our refuge. You are our strong tower. You are our protector. You provide for us, Father. It's not our jobs. It's not the grocery stores. You make sure your children have what they need, Father, in Yeshua's name, and we receive it. We'd be rude to turn your gift away. We'd be rude to want to go back to what you brought us out of. So, Father, today I speak a blessing over those at House of Scripture. Father, let us walk this word. Let us apply it. Let us, Father, be energized by it. In Yeshua's name, and everyone said together, amen and amen. All right, guys.